Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Number two of Show and Vern. I am Ron the Show. You
an a-hole.
Sorry.
That's Josh Vernier and Steve Serta. All right, man. Let's put it out, man. We're gonna have an awful show today.
No, we're not. Don't do that.
We can't send people away, and it won't be because of me. I'm gonna give it everything I have.
Let's give away a pair of Royals Mets tickets right now. Caller number 13, 913-576-7610. Royals Mets this Saturday. Win them for free right now. Caller number 13. 913-576-7610.
Somebody must have said Rick Burkholder. I'm just imagining that someone had to say that. So, Juan Thornhill, 6 interceptions. This is what Pete said yesterday. 6 interceptions thus far in training camp of Pat Mahomes. And what does that mean? I don't know that it means a ton for Juan Thornhill. You're happy that he has done something as opposed to, you know, the other way. Hey, picking off what many believe the best quarterback in football in camp. Yes, that's a good thing. I want to move more of this over towards Pat, though. And to me, it is a bit of a precursor. I think Pat will throw more interceptions. I think he threw 11 or 12 last year. I think Pat will throw more interceptions, but I don't think that that at all means it's a bad thing. I think the thing that you're going to see within growth, and Pat has had growth, and everything has been reported to us, is that, man, he is better than he is last year. And one of the top things about you knew he would be better with is him being more comfortable with the offense and being more confident. Right? More comfortable and confident, more comfortable in knowing the plays and knowing where everybody's going to be, and more confident. And man, I just set the league on fire. I know this league. I'm comfortable playing in this league. I know I can dominate, not just play, dominate in this league. And when you do that, I think you take more chances. And I think he will take more chances, which is not a bad thing. I could see him being in more of the 10 to 12 interception range to the 15. 16, 17 interception range, which to me doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing. I think with his confidence, he will try to fit balls in more than he did last year. Vern, this was more or less Andy's offense. He's not just taking ownership of this team. He's most definitely taking ownership of this offense. This is his offense, all right? Andy's calling the plays, but this is so much more his offense than it was last year, and he's going to take chances and fit balls in places more than he did last year.
Why? Why will he take unnecessary chances? I don't see a reason to when you have that many weapons that cannot be slowed without a double team. There's going to be a single coverage open receiver somewhere. I understand throwing it more and having more confidence and taking more ownership. I don't see how that translates to poor decisions.
And I don't necessarily always say that it's poor decisions because it ends in an interception. I think that he will get to a place where his confidence in his play is different than it was last year. Last year, at times when he dropped back, I'm sure he thought more about the outcome. All right, we talked about this in practice. Andy, we don't want to make this play. We don't make this play. I'm going to throw this away. We've talked about this. I'm going to throw it away, or I'm going to dump it down or something like this. I think when you grow and you get more confident and you don't have any fear of anything, and I think Pat doesn't have a lot of fear because he's so confident and comfortable in the offense, I think you see him taking more chances. I think we see quarterbacks down the line once they've taken more control of an offense and don't have any feelings of what the coach is going to say or anything like that, that they take more chances. You go from a first-year quarterback to what Pat was last year to the MVP and a guy who dominated the league. Yeah, more of those times that he just threw it away or he dumped it down, I could see him trying to fit it in more.
The guy that I compare Pat to more often than not is Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers has had more than a dozen interceptions once in his career, and that came in his first year as a starting quarterback. Taking chances, I'm fine with. But if they're resulting in interceptions to a point where you're turning the ball over more than you did a season ago, then they are ill-advised chances. To me, Patrick Mahomes is a perfectionist. He's not a gunslinger to the point of, to hell with what happens as a result of this throw, I want to show this cannon off. To me, the risks that you're talking about are reflective of an ego, and I don't think his ego will get the better.
I don't know. No, I don't think that is it is reflective of an ego. I think it's reflective of somebody who will be even more aggressive than he was last year because he's got more confidence in himself.
Sure.
I bet you there are moments where he stepped back last year and said, man, I should have uncorked that. I should have thrown that, but he was thinking. I don't think there's going to be as much as that.
But that doesn't mean it results in an interception. If you need to uncork it, you put it in a spot that only Tyreek or Sammy or McColl can get it.
But sometimes, and sometimes over the course of a season, you play that way, it can result into that.
Sure, it can. But again, I'm going to point to Aaron Rodgers. No one has taken more ownership of an offense than he has over the last 5, 6, 7 years. No one needs to be more aggressive, more so than Aaron Rodgers has needed to be with the average to below average weapons that he has. Pat has great weapons, and yes, he has that same need. Maybe not as bad as Aaron Rodgers, but with better weapons, I don't see the necessity for a spike in interceptions.
Yeah,
12 last year would be the second most that Rodgers has ever allowed in his career.
And Aaron has been very, very special with that, all right?
And I think Pat can be that special. You're right. Yep. Yeah. Aaron is one of the greatest, and I think Pat is shoulder to shoulder with him and walking down that same path.
That's fine. His first year, he's already, what, how many times has Aaron done this, 12 interceptions in a season?
Once.
So his first year, he's already matched that. I think he will be even more of an aggressive thrower.
Right, but it was Rodgers' first year when he threw 13, and it's mm-hmm. Pat's first year in which he throws 12. I expect Pat to get better, not for him to get more reckless with the football.
Yeah, and you look at it as a way of reckless, and I look at it as a way of he's got so much more confidence that balls that he wouldn't let go last year in coverage, he's got more confidence in himself and understanding of the offense that he will let.
This segment of Show and Vern presented by Mazary's Jewelry, 4 generations of distinctive jewelry located in Leawood.
If I could get personal, tomorrow's a big day, Vern, for me and my family. Tomorrow's a big day. It's Little Show's first day of school. It's Little Show's first day of kindergarten.
On a Wednesday?
Yeah, school starts 14th, yeah, and his mom's birthday. All in one.
That is a big day.
Big day in the Hughley household tomorrow.
Are you prepared for both?
Well, I'm prepared for the birthday.
Okay.
And I believe I'm prepared for the first day of school. Mm. I don't think that I'm going to get emotional like this. Now, since I have had kids and got married, I have turn more into Dick Vermeil, where I just will let the tears roll. I can get emotional. But I haven't had that happen. Like the first day when we had to drop him off for daycare, when he graduated, you remember, I know my wife's going to lose it. She's going to be gone. I don't think I will. Yesterday, we went for a back-to-school night where we had to drop off all his stuff at the school, and I met his teacher and stuff, and all right, I was like, ooh, this is becoming real. This is becoming real. But big day tomorrow. I don't know what kind of mood I'm going to be when I come in.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you view it as, because you don't seem to me, and I don't know you that well, you don't seem to me to be a very, I know if I was in that position, I would think of this as, you know, he's going away and he needs me a little bit less and he's growing up. I would get into it and get really sentimental with it. You don't seem like a sentimental kind of guy, a weepy, a very new age man, that makes sense.
I'm not weepy, but I get good and emotional.
Okay. So have you gone down that road then? Have you started to think about what tomorrow when he steps on that school bus, what that's going to mean, where he's walking to?
So he's not stepping on a school bus. We'll drop him off at his class.
Well, that's not the same.
No, it's not. No, I don't think I've gone down the thought of he will need me less until you just said that. You think he's going to need me less now?
I just always think of the step on the school bus as he's entering a different world that I'm not a part of.
I'd have never thought about it until you just said it like that. Really?
Listener 6411 says, Miss Winkleman is a smoke show. Enjoy it, show.
Damn. I wasn't going to put that lady's name out there, but what a great name for his first teacher.
Nice.
Miss Winkleman. I will say, we were in Miss Winkleman's class yesterday where we met everybody. And one thing that I was really, really happy to see in the class and pleasantly surprised for the area that we live in is there is a good amount of diversity in his classroom and in a better amount of diversity in his classroom, in his school than I was prepared to see. There were multiple different language speaking kids that are in his class. It looked like a special needs kid that's in his class. And I am really, really excited and happy for that. Like, diversity is a big deal for us with our kids. Like, I remember when my mom wanted to move me to Blue Springs, it was a real thought for her because it wasn't real diverse there. But that was something that I was really amped about.
Yeah, no, I had two African-Americans in my school in 13 years of schooling. Two. One in first grade and then one in high school, and that was it.
Yeah, really. There were 53 black people in my junior year at Blue Springs.
You know the number.
Yeah, I counted it in the book, in the yearbook. There were 2,000, over 2,000 students. We had 53.
Listener 555, show, my baby girl starts kindergarten tomorrow as well. I have a feeling that she's just going to peace out and ignore me as soon as she gets there.
See,
I feel you.
Now, if he cries, now that might get me.
Listener 21 says he's going to school, not Afghanistan. Man up.
I cried my first day of kindergarten.
See, that might get me. That might get me if he gets there, we get in there, and he starts looking. Yeah, see. Now you'd have made me think about a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, let's give away some Royals tickets then.
Can we?
Mets tickets. We're giving you 16 chances to win here on a Ticket Tuesday. Royals squaring off with Jacob DeGrom at the K.
All right.
Congrats to Dan in Odessa. He won the tickets from earlier.
All right. Let me change the mood. Let's make some folks work for it right here. Your chance to win Royals Mets tickets, as I'm trying not to get emotional here, because Vern really made me think about things. 913-576-7610, caller number 13. 913-576-7610, caller number 13. Answer me this one. Everybody has one. What's the one name of a person that you know? If that's their name, you're not marrying them. Everybody has one. Yep. What is the one name that you knew when you were dating, whatever, you're out on the scene? Oh, that's her name? Nope, no chance. Yep. Rachel, I'll kick it off right here. Mm-hmm. That's a finish there. No chance. No chance.
I'm not saying my name. I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it because she's probably listening. I am not saying it.
Okay.
913-576-7610 wow. is our phone number. What caller number did you say again?
Caller number 13. Okay. Caller number 13. You all right, big dog?
913-576-7610.
See, these are the moments where I wish that I was not boycotting the text line because I'm sure it is coming through. There has got to be one.
From the 816, Crystal, they're all crazy. Meredith coming in as well. Like Susie, also coming in.
There's a better chance of me marrying a George than it is a Rachel.
Listener 45 says Ashley because she's too dumb and too hot to marry. From the 913, Olga. From listener 11, Hennessy. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. Yesterday, Damian Williams was asked if it's frustrating splitting time with all these running backs.
No, not at all. It's, at the end of the day, you know, we're all here to compete. You know, no one's here, you know, to chill or feel like you're safe. For me, you know, period, you know, those are my guys. You know, these are guys I'm in the room with every day. These are the guys I spend the most time with. Having them step in and take over those reps, you know, it means a lot for me just, you know, to have them, you know, get to see it firsthand and have that mentality of, you know, if someone's down, you know, make sure, you know, the next guy's ready.
That attitude, that embracing of the running back by committee that you hear from Damian Williams, I think is a direct reflection of the culture that has been created by Andy Reid, not only here in Kansas City, but also in Philadelphia. Andy Reid, from conversations with former players and what you hear from current players, the way that he treats every one of his guys like men, talks to them straight, that has a carryover effect into the locker room to a point where if your reps are being taken, but it's for the betterment of the team, Andy Reid and I believe Eric Bieniemy, they have a way of communicating that to the player and communicating it openly and honestly to where the player can accept it and buy into whatever Andy is selling. Man, that's another reason why I believe Eric Bieniemy is not just going to work as a head coach, but I do think will flourish. I think he has that ability to create a culture like Andy did. I think Doug Peterson has it as well, and you're seeing that in Philadelphia where guys buy in quickly. They do believe that they're being spoken to honestly and, again, openly by the head coach. I don't know if Matt Nagy necessarily has it, but I think Bieniemy falls in line with Doug Peterson and Andy Reid.
See, when I think about Matt Nagy, I think about Eric Bieniemy in a sense. Off the field, I'm talking about not the scheme and everything. All of the scheme and those parts would be the same. Matt Nagy, you think about what he's had to work with. You could argue he may be his best disciple. I mean, he may be. I think Nick Foles and
God, you hate Mitch Trubisky.
I just saying. I think Nick and
Mitch has improved every year in the NFL.
Can you just stop talking, please? I think Nick Foles and Carson Wentz are better than Mitch Trubisky right now.
The Mitch
that has played the last 2 years. The Mitch that has played.
Nick Foles is not better than Mitch Trubisky.
No. The Mitch
Carson that, Wentz, I'll give you that.
The Mitch that has played the last year, the only year that Nagy has had him, maybe in the future he is, has been worse than Carson Wentz and him. Now, I think the big thing about Nagy is different from Peterson and other guys is I think Nagy's his own man. When I watch and listen to Nagy in press conferences and things like that, I don't hear. Especially since he got away from the Chiefs. I don't hear Andy like I do with Doug Peterson. I think Eric Bieniemy, when he gets his own program and he runs his own team, I think he'll be his own man as well. I think he'll be a different cat. I think he'll have a culture that he's trying to set, but it'll be whatever his is. I think he's his own person. On the field, be Andy's offense and everything that they've done. But off the field, I think he's his own guy.
More names coming in on the text line of names that you knew you would never marry. Listener 65 says Cinnamon. Listener number one, Stunna, says Tabitha.
Those are not deal breakers for me.
Listener 222 says Chloe. Listener 69306 says China. Listener 309 met a girl. We were really hitting it off. Found out her name was Randy. Nope. She was named after her dad.
What's wrong with that? See,
I've known a couple girls named Randy.
Pat's mom.
It's like, I feel like the deal breaker comes from a point, Vern, where you're like, I've had an experience with that name.
Listener 13 says Sabrina. Nasty S59 brings up Brittany. Brianna from listener 33.
Yeah, Brianna's are close for me.
Anything stripperish from listener 34. He throws Alexis out there.
That's one that's hot to handle for me as well.
Crystal.
Newsflash.
Serta's Newsflash.
OJ just tweeted. I haven't had time to, you know.
Yeah, you've been real busy over there.
Eating.
I'd probably I have that been. Off air.
I haven't even eaten in several minutes.
Nobody cares. Certainly not me.
Former Major League pitcher and outspoken conservative Kurt Schilling said he is absolutely considering running for Congress in Arizona against one of the state's five Democrats.
And they'll have a good chance of winning.
I agree.
Red state. Yep. And everything that goes with it, him being a champion for Arizona and that being a red state. Yep, he's... Him and John McCain were really close. That helps him in a major way.
Were they?
Yeah. Close, you know, publicly. Ah. They would be out together.
Yeah. Arizona's full of idiots.
Well, everywhere is.
That's true.
Cliff Kingsbury had a funny quote when he was asked about the Antonio Brown situation and the appearance on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM said, have you ever had a helmet that you would consider leaving the game of football for? His response, I haven't met a woman I would consider leaving the game of football for.
Nice. Good for you, Cliff.
I like
that answer. I like that answer, too. I'm not going to ask that.
Listener 86. I wouldn't name any of the people that DMX named in that song What They Want.
That's a good one. Whatever a five has been in your lifetime, whatever you've rated a lady as a five, do you think Cliff has donned fives?
Yes. He went to college.
I don't know, man. Quarterback, good-looking fella like that. He'd probably be one of those guys that has over-the-top standards, in my opinion. All right. coming up next, we do this each and every Tuesday. Shop Talk. Josh Klingler, Sean Levine, coming up next.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com. Back to Show and Burn. 25 straight minutes of sports entertainment starts Now.
All right, this is your latest opportunity to win Royals Mets tickets on a 6-10 Saturday coming up. Caller number eight. 913-576-7610. Your chance to win Royals Mets tickets. Let's jump into this. Shop Talk from Fesco in the Morning, Josh Klingler, and from The Drive, Sean Levine. We do this each and every Tuesday. I want to get to the secondary, and I felt this way last week, and I felt this way for a while. It feels like to me we are making excuses for Kendall Fuller. All right, from the jump. Like, Vern has coined a great phrase of sometimes there's explanations, not excuses. All right, and I feel like he's hurt, or he's going up against – these great wide receivers. He's changing a new defense. The safeties were bad. Like, at some point, he's your lead corner, supposed to be your number one corner. He's got to pick it up from this. I'm not saying it's over with Kendall, but he's got to get better, and I think we're making too many excuses.
He got a huge pass, I thought, last year, right? I mean, it was the best slot corner.
So you felt that too?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought, you know, we were just kind of taking it for granted. We didn't watch – how many of us watched a lot of Redskins slot cover guys? I mean, I did.
I couldn't stop watching it last year.
I didn't, so you kind of took it for granted. Like, oh, well, they say he's good. He was the best rated, so I felt like he was on a pass last year. And amidst a lot of other bad corners, I think he stood out as the least bad. That may not be the case this year, though. You're right.
I also thought that he was compared a lot to Marcus Peters when the Chiefs got him, which, quite frankly, was unfair because Marcus Peters out the gates was awesome, and you could argue still is. I don't know what really happened last year, but that didn't help him as well, and he certainly underperformed a year ago. There were a couple of guys last year that I'm not sure what happened, but it was the first time I got a chance to see them in a Chiefs uniform, Anthony Hitchens and the aforementioned Kendall Fuller. I expect both those guys, I don't know why, but I expect both those guys to be a little bit better this season.
I think you are in the minority when it comes to Fuller. I'm with you in that minority, but it seems to me that if you were a part of the 2018 defensive secondary, then we just assume that you can't play in 2019. Excited about Morris Claiborne's addition. You know, Bashaud Breeland could have people, even him, I think, is punished for showing up at training camp and being around the 2018 defense. To me,
he took a couple lunches on the Chiefs and now he's at fault.
Do you guys sense that we are down on the secondary, not because what they've done in camp or in preseason game number one? We're down on this secondary because they play the same positions as those bums did a season ago.
Yeah. I mean, don't you watch a game? I try not to, but you watch a game like every time they give up a catch, you're like, ugh.
Here we go again.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to not see it that way.
Because it was unfair. And Ron, I know you saw it on Twitter as well. People wondering aloud, maybe Bob Sutton wasn't really the problem after one drive against the Bengals. Hang on. No, Bob Sutton was a problem.
He was.
And we're expecting the secondary to be better because not only do you have better players, but better coaching as well.
But I think it's with Fuller, though, in particular. Like, I don't look at him the same way that I feel with Ward and even Breeland. He's this cat was, you said, you're the best at something. You're talking about the best slot corner. At some point, Bob has something to do with it, but at some point, corner is a position man on man. Like, there were too many times last year that just in coverage, him one-on-one, he was getting beat. And then when you look at almost every training camp video, and I know Vern will get on me, it's training camp video, man, he's just getting dusted up. He's getting dusted up, and it's got to be better, more than an excuse of, well, he's going up against the best receiving core. And man, I saw Marcus Kemp give it to him, and I know every team in the league's got two receivers better than Marcus Kemp.
So do you guys think that people are recording every single play and just deciding not to send out when the receiver doesn't catch it to me? You're going to get retweets if you send out a catch, not if you get a pass breakup.
Here's a pass deflected.
You're not going to see
that on
Twitter.
Maybe you would for Chiefs secondary.
How about make a play, as you would say?
Sometimes there's not a number one, though. Like, think about the Royals rotation, right? We always want to say this guy's a number one. Danny Duffy's been branded at times with a number one. That dude was never a number one. Kendall Fuller was kind of given the number one when he came here based on the position that he found himself in, which is with a terrible group of cornerbacks. He was never number one.
What do you think he is?
Like a number 2.5 or 3, based on what I've seen. Now, based on the bill of goods that I was sold before he got here, I thought he was going to be a 1 or a 2. After seeing him play a full season and so far in training camp, a 2, maybe a 3, I think that that's what all these cornerbacks are. They don't really have a number one. They all kind of blend together to me. Nobody stood out, whether last year the way they played or in camp.
You have a tough time calling a slot-only receiver a number one. Right,
Yeah.
Especially when Spags comes in and says he's only going to play slot. Well, if Spags doesn't see him on the outside, well, then you can't be a number one if you're only playing the slot.
Then what you're saying probably too, Ron, then they needed to have done more. If you weren't going to anoint Fuller as your number one guy and you're only going to play him in a specific spot, then you failed in going to to upgrade the corner spot.
That's a part of it. But, yeah, he just has to pick it up. I think he's better than what we've seen. I watched him in Washington. He's better than what we've seen. Now, Bob and Emmett Thomas, they get a lot of it. But he he's got to pick it up.
I don't know why Emmett Thomas's name continues to come up.
He was the coach of the secondary.
It's a contract year for Kendall Fuller. If we're going to see the best Kendall Fuller, it's likely to be in the 16 games in 2019. Michael Inley Summit, you walk away with the first pair of Royals Mets tickets this segment. Your next chance to win coming up in just about 10 minutes.
Is there any fear that you guys have that the secondary is going to be worse than it was a year ago? Because I think there's just an assumption that you add Honey Badger, you draft Juan Thornhill, they're going to be better. Any chance they're worse?
I don't think that they're worse. And I don't even think the corners are worse, even though we've had Ken Swanson come on, who breaks down a lot of film, and he says he thinks the corners are worse. Yeah. And Craig Stout came on as well to say they're worse. I don't think that's Orlando Scandrick. Scrappy, he was terrible. I'm sorry, man. I don't think that they're going to be worse. And when you involve the coach in getting Emmett Thomas out of here and bringing in Dave, Emmett's just a Hall of Fame player.
Right, he's a Hall of Fame player. So right, just let him go into retirement.
He's not a good coach. But bring in Dave Merritt and Sam Madison. You bring those guys in. I think Breland is probably better than Nelson with those guys. So I can't see them being worse. The corner are the positions of concern. But I can't even see them being worse than last year with the coaching staff. They just seem to be more talented.
If either one of you guys or anyone listening knows Emmett Thomas personally, please.
Don't apologize.
I will fly him to Kansas City to handle
this
jabroni across from me
right now. As I've said, I think Emmett's a great man. But if he wants some, just come and get some. That's it. I mean, I don't care that he's 75 or 76. I won't take it easy on him.
He just turned 76, and you know
that. That's fine. Don't sing it. Just bring it, E.T. I don't care. But we were just talking about this with Pat earlier before you guys jumped on.
Good fights are more about range, right, anyway, than age, so I don't really think that matters.
Yeah, it matters once he gets speared. And anyway, that's what I said, man. Don't sing it. Just bring it.
Ron really thought this out, though. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
He's ready to go.
Here's how I would take Emmett Thomas.
I know how
does that come up?
Yeah, it'll be a cane when I'm finished. we're talking about Mahomes. And I Juan Thornhill, I heard you guys talking about it this morning. He's picked him off 6 times in training camp. He's been very impressive running stride for stride. But picking off Patrick Mahomes, hey, that makes you feel good about one of your high draft picks. I do think it is a precursor because I think Pat will – potentially throw more interceptions this year, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think, and my theory is, he's going to be much more comfortable with this offense, much more confident in himself playing at this level to take chances. I think there were plays last year where I could have fit it in, but he threw it away or he dumped it down. I think the ultimate confidence that he will have we'll see him take more chances that could potentially lead to more picks, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
That's why you need to judge his success this year and his improvement on both the eye test and how far he takes this team in the playoffs rather than just stats, because a lot of fans are going to match him up to what he did last year, which quite frankly is unfair. You could argue he had the best first year for a full-time starting quarterback. There's really not even an argument that anybody in the history of the game has ever had. Of course, he ended up with the MVP, but those stats were just ridiculous. It's going to be tough to match either 50 touchdowns or 5,000 yards. I think we're going to have to judge Pat in a different way this season to tell if he's regressed or progressed this year.
It's funny because it's a fine line. Andy's talked about like going over tape. Here, I'm going to show you all these things that you could have improved on.
Yeah.
Some of those could be, you know, you made this read and you completed the pass, but you should have went here because this is where the play should have went. And that could have could result in an interception. Like goofy stuff like that, right? Like you should have thrown here. You improvised and went here and it worked, but you should have thrown here. Next time I throw here and I get picked.
The risk is telling Pat in any form or fashion not to ad-lib because he's the best ad-libbing quarterback that I've ever seen. I mean, we saw that stat last year in the Broncos game that outside the pocket in that game, he had thrown for more yards than any quarterback in the last 10 years. Just think about that. All the great scrambling quarterbacks, and that's not even what he's best at. He's best when he's standing tall in the pocket. So I just think that he's so transcendently good. We're going to have to compare him to really nobody that's ever played the game.
And that's the point. You shouldn't use logic when you're talking about Patrick Mahomes, because logically, sure, if he's taking more of an ownership role, if he's going to push it down the field more, logically you would think maybe more interceptions are to come. But this is a guy that already did something that I never thought I would see, 5,050 as a 23-year-old. I think he also has a different kind of football acumen, an Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady kind of aptitude. And I think that's on full display, coupled with Andy Reid this year. I wouldn't be surprised if 5,000 or 50 happen again this year. And no, I'm not kind of conceding that the interceptions will go up.
You used a term of ownership. And like last year, I think this was Andy's offense. I think this year he has more ownership of this is my offense. You could just see him in the game Saturday of how confident he appears. And I don't think in his mind anymore after as a first-year quarterback, he was dominant. He saw he could be dominant in this league. I think when you couple confidence and that feeling like I'm going to let some stuff go.
Right.
And he's got a little crazy in him. He's honed it. And honed it really well last year. That's what separated him when you talk about Brady and Rod. But before that, everything we've known before last year is Pat's got a little crazy. Like a little crazy when a preseason game, you should run out of bounds, but I'm going to cut it in. He's got a little crazy in him to where I can fit it in. And I'm confident. And Andy's not going to say anything to me because I'm the team. Like I think that happens to some guys.
Protein LC with a purpose, text line 69306. No listener number, and that's on purpose from the 913. Talking about beating up a 76-year-old man is just sad, you guys.
Listen, I'm not coming out and saying I'm going to beat him up. I'm just saying if he wants to take on the challenge,
if he wants to
take on
the
challenge, yes. I will not only defend myself, I will take him down.
Let me give away another pair of Royals Mets tickets. Caller number 14, 913-576-7610. Caller number 14, 913-576-7610. You win Royals and Mets tickets.
You guys are laughing.
Tickets.
Concerned to not count that high or what?
That is very on the nose, Kling. Okay. That is
I was thinking about this real quick. If Pat just repeats, which saying just, I mean, the dude was unbelievable last year. If he does that, then he's had the best start or maybe the best two-year stretch of any NFL player ever.
Yeah, he's done something that no one has ever done.
10,000 yards and 100 touchdowns over a two-year period. Yes. So I think we just need to back off.
Nobody's ever done it ever.
Need to back off just a little bit because I think there's some people out there that think if Pat only throws for 38 touchdowns and only throws for 4,500 yards, then he took a step back. Let's judge him on how far he takes his football team.
My buddy coined it, baby. Today, he said Pat's throwing 50 next year.
And you have to look at the weapons around him. Tyreek Hill, and I think we were all a little sports turned on by what we saw from Mecole Hardman. Before I give you my thought, do you think there is any sort of comparison between the two other than they're both fast? Is there a possibility that Mecole can duplicate a Tyreek Hill kind of three-year stretch?
Not to sit on the fence, but I think that there's a chance of that, but the same way that we didn't know Tyreek Hill was anything more than a glorified punt and kickoff returner, you have to see it on the NFL field with real bullets flying. And I think Hardman is going to get that opportunity. Now, Tyreek Hill showed out his rookie year, and the Chiefs went, oh, damn, we've actually got a real wide receiver here, not just kind of a gimmick threat. I don't think Hardman's going to get that opportunity because he's got so many guys in front of him to leapfrog, but I do think that he's going to get an opportunity as a punt returner and as a fourth, fifth, maybe even sixth pass-catching option, which in this, if you're going to be a fifth or sixth pass-catching option, this is the offense you want to do it in.
But that's why I'm saying no. I think he's just not going to get the opportunities that Tyreek Hill did early, and all the jet sweeps and everything to go to Tyreek Hill. Not it's like they're going to suddenly go to Mecole Hardman, so you get to see what he gets to do. Maybe you compliment things. He's just not going to get the opportunities that Hill had.
Unless Sammy gets hurt, which he's only played 16 games 1 year in his career, so it seems like at this point it's not a what or when, it's an if. And at this point, then he would become, you could argue, as high as the number two wide receiver on this football team.
Yeah, it's possible, right? He's got great speed.
Yeah.
But I can't see it. I mean, I remember being at training camp the first time I saw Tyreek Hill, just the speed. He was going up one-on-one with Marcus Peters. It was like the first time I'd ever seen like hardcore porn. My eyes just blew
less
up.
Less sex, more sports.
My eyes just blew up, and come I was on, like, man. Wow. Never seen anything
like that. So that's
what
that looks like. Okay.
Like, never seen anything like that. I don't get that when I see Mecole Hardman.
Cue that second non-listener number text. Same person will be texting you.
Yeah, I am just not interested in that conversation.
What? I'm just saying, I had never seen anything. Like, my eyes were like, whoa.
We have an edict. Less sex, more sports. And you know
I
that.
I didn't even go into depth on it. I just said.
How much deeper can you go?
A lot deeper.
Congratulations, Randy in Liberty. You win a pair of tickets to see the Royals.
Man,
take
you know
on
he ain't going to be no.
Jacob DeGrom.
You know
on
he's
Saturday
not going to be no Tyreek
Stadium.
Hill.
Let's just stop talking about Chiefs. Let's move to the Royals quickly. Ron scoffed and said he needed more time. I put Hunter Dozier in the mix with Adalberto Mondesi and Brad Keller, guys that I believe will be a part of the next championship team. At the end of last season, Kling, I thought it was only Keller and Mondesi. I didn't believe anybody else would be here when they win again. I've seen enough from Dozier to believe this is who he'll be for the next two, three seasons. I believe he is a part of the long-term plans and the next championship team.
Is it okay that he moves around all the time? Are we going to have to have a position for him, or is it okay that he's going to...
Shoot, man, if you can hit it like that, we'll find a spot.
Just find a spot.
If you can be that kind of a all-field, gap-to-gap kind of power hitter, right field, third base, first base, DH, whatever it might be, right? Soler might not be long for Kansas City. He could slide into that DH role if you need to, although a third baseman isn't necessarily banging down the door right now to knock him out of that spot. So I think he could stay at third base, but Hunter Dozier in, 4 months has shown me enough.
I think, too, playing after the injury, like, was the first part a fluke, and then he was out a little bit, and you're like, okay, is it going to be the full window? But he's continued and put together essentially full, minus the injury, a full season. So that to me has proved quite a bit.
I thought the Royals kind of had one pitcher heading into this season that would be part of the team when they're winning baseball games again. That's Brad Keller. My mind certainly hasn't changed on that. When it came to position players heading in this year, I thought it was twofold, Vern. I thought it was just Witt and Mondesi. And not only do I believe in Hunter Dozier for the future, but obviously Jorge Soler. Just curious, because you said he might not be long here in Kansas City. Why would they not try to lock this guy up?
I just don't think he needs to take – Hunter Dozier could not turn down the Whit Merrifield offer. 4 years at $16 million. He's forced to take it just like Whit was forced to take it. Soler hits free agency, I believe, after next season.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need to take any sort of a hometown discount. And because power is so aplenty around Major League Baseball, Jorge Soler's power is probably more valuable in a different ballpark than it is here in Kansas City. I think he could be a nice trade piece for this team this offseason.
Last time they traded him, that definitely worked out. I checked out Wade Davis's ERA. Dude's at 6.42 right now.
Yeah, he's lost his closer role up in Colorado. My thing with Hunter Dozier is, and I think it's this way with Mondesi. I've heard Denny say this a ton, and I've heard other people say this. Man, 1,500 at-bats. I want to see 1,500 at-bats before I feel like, well, he hasn't had 800. And this is it.
By the time he hits 1,500, he's going to be 30. So then he started so late, meaning right now is his prime.
Yes, he could be Wit, but there aren't a lot of Wits.
Yeah, no. No, I don't think he can be Wit.
I'm talking about in terms of, if he's this player we're seeing right now over the next 3 years, that's Wit. That's a player who started at 27 and came on and wasn't. How many? You read off the names. How many? There's not that many names in terms of OPS in the American League that are in front of Hunter Dozier. Mm-hmm. Like, that's an all-star type of a player. Man, I just.
That you can get an affordable rate, as you mentioned, which is.
Yes. Huge. I'm just saying, I don't know that I'm sold yet when he hasn't reached 800 at bats yet. Quite yet to see, because before this he had never shown us anything like this, and this has just been a 3 or 4
but as
Clink
said
period.
Injuries had a lot to do with that. The kid could not stay healthy. He also was, but
that's a part of it though, right?
Yeah, he was a college graduate. I'm with Denny knows more than all of us combined, so I'm not going to argue with Denny, but 1500, that's if I'm looking at a prospect, a kid that's 22, 23, 24, trying to establish himself and getting you ready for his prime.
You don't have time for that now with him.
Right. Hunter Dozier's in his prime right now. This is as good as he's going to be these next 3 years. I don't think he gets better, right? The 1,500 thing, if he reaches that, that tells you he might be getting better. I don't think that's possible. Hunter Dozier getting better. I think he can be a 900 OPS guy for the next three seasons.
He's a late bloomer like Witt. I don't think he has a chance to hit the ceiling. I mean, Witt's hitting 306 right now. As a big leaguer, he's hitting 300. I maybe thought that Witt was a really good baseball player a little bit before the Royals did and gave him the contract. I could see it in him. Hunter Dozier, I'm not sure he's just having a career year. I'm kind of with Ron. I want to see a little bit more, but it makes sense.
But yeah. Also, I think you point up too, Vern, nobody's pushed. He's playing spots where he's not being pushed.
Yeah, nobody behind him.
So, to me, there's like no harm in it, too.
There's
no harm in committing to him at a low rate for a three-year window when there's nobody knocking at the door to push him out anyway.
He's having an amazing season, and it should get everyone excited. I don't know that I'm sold quite yet since this is the first year he's done it. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Coming up after us, The Drive, Sean Levine, Carrington, BK will be there, so make sure you're listening for that. Coming up next, your chance to win another pair of Royals Mets tickets. And there, can't believe I'm going to say this myself, there is a possible way that this defense can be a top 15 defense. And I know many of you are shaking your head, but the answer could be Bob Sutton.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.